So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we will start in volume 19, 531, 26. The light of the divine will continues to envelop me. And this is what's going to happen to us. We're going to enter into this light. And you will not be able to see it at first. But the evil one will see it. Okay? So that's one of the things that you have to know. As you enter this gift, you enter into this light of Jesus, this light of Mary. And you have to always think of our Lord on Mount Tabor and Our Lady at Guadalupe. As you start reading the divine will, this light of heaven starts reigning in you. Okay? Now, if this is a supernatural light, you won't be able to see it at first. But the angels see it, and the evil one sees it. And what happens at that point is the devil will try to discourage you. He'll try to annoy you. He'll try to lead you away from that peace, that joy, that happiness. And what we have to do is we have to truly get closer to Jesus and Mary. As you get closer to Jesus and Mary, This light that Jesus gave to Louisa is going to radiate in us even more and more. As you read the volumes, as you pray your rounds, as you go through the calendar, as you go through the books, focusing on this gift, what will happen is this light will radiate more and more to the point where the devil cannot get near you. And so when you go to confession, and most people go to confession and confess the same sin over and over and over again. What happens at that point, you have the strength to conquer your weaknesses. This is the thing that's going to be so amazing. If one of your weaknesses is an impatience, God will give you patience. It's just astonishing. The opposite is going to begin to happen for those who really begin to focus on this book of heaven, and that's what we see here. The light of the divine will continues to envelop me. So when you go to your family, and like for example, when you get together for Easter or Christmas or birthdays, you know, sometimes when you get together with a family, it's a difficult thing. Because of everybody's human will, you know, the grudges and the disappointments and the sadness that most families go through are there. And there's tension, there's worry, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's complaints, there's negativity, there's sin. And as you enter into this gift of the divine will, this is what Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. So as you walk into your family in this divine will, and this light of the divine will is with you, you are Jesus, and Jesus begins to gaze at the people in your family through your gazing. Jesus begins to smile at members of your family as you smile. Jesus begins to listen to your family members as you begin to listen. Jesus begins to touch the people in your family as you touch them. This is the divine will in the midst of creatures. When you go to Holy Mass and you're the only one who has read the divine will is there in the midst of creatures of the parish. When you go to the mall, the divine will is there in the midst of everyone in the shopping mall. See, we become apostles of the divine will. And that means that we have an obligation to bring Jesus. And if this is not, again, a saintly thing, a good thing, or a holy thing, Jesus is asking more of us than he asked of the saints. Why? Because he has given us Louisa. This life of Louisa is very, very important for all of us to begin to live. So this light is with you. Like I said yesterday, every one of us is very important to the Lord. Every one of us has an important role to accomplish. And for some, that important role is just to patiently listen to people. That role may be patiently to smile at people. And what that is doing is it's changing the face of the earth. See, Jesus is there. You know, when you, whatever you are doing, whatever you're thinking, saying, doing, in the divine will, this light of the divine will is enveloped you. And the more that you begin to read, the more this light is there. And again, it's not our light. It's the light of Jesus. It's the light of Mary given to us because of Louisa, the light that's in Louisa. And see, it's to become an apostle of the divine will. Somebody handed me this. They printed up something of Louisa. Ask Jesus what he wants you to do. For birthdays, find something in the letters of Louisa that talks about birthdays where that you can give to your family. You know, at funerals, you know, print up something that you can give out to everybody at the funeral that of this great gift of the divine will. You know, even on Valentine's cards, you know, send something out with divine will on it. Let people begin to hear what this is about. It's a secret, but we're going to little by little let everybody begin to know. Our job is to continue to live in the light of the divine will. And so Louisa says, and my little intelligence, while swimming in the immense ocean, the immense sea of this light, can just barely take a few drops of light and a few little flames of the so many truths, the so many knowledges, and so many happinesses that this endless ocean, this endless sea of the eternal will contains. See, we begin to participate. We begin to be that drop of water put into the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. That our God wants us to participate in this. So you're not here by chance. The Lord has great, great, great plans. And you're part of his plans. And all he's asking you to do is to read. And as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness, your family begins to become whole. Your neighborhood begins to become whole. Your parish, why? Because the light of the divine will is in the midst of creatures. Because of you, because of what Jesus is doing, he's slowly transforming you into a living image of himself. So you can just imagine when this occurs, when the divine will reigns. I tell a lot of the doctors that I meet, you know, God is going to put them out of a job. Because the healings that are going to come are so powerful. The healings that are going to come are so astonishing that as you walk into a hospital, people will be healed. Why? Because it's not you. It's the light of Jesus. It's the light of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, through Louisa that you're linked to. So, like I said, once Louisa is named venerable, and that should be soon, and the church says, show us a miracle from Louisa. All the miracles that she brought about, all the people that she raised from the dead, all the miraculous miracles. As a matter of fact, yesterday we saw Father Bucci, and Father Bucci's book talks about a little boy that was cold, stone, blue, dead, that the mother came in, put that dead baby in Louisa's arms and fell on the floor weeping. That baby was Father Bucci's brother, who Louisa brought back to life. See, you're not going to understand, you're not going to believe the amount of miracles that God wants to show the world that He is going to do. There's going to be so many miracles, like I said. The Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, everyone will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. I give up everything that I ever thought to embrace this gift. This is because of what Jesus is saying to Louisa and showing us. This light, these flames of love, these truths, these knowledges, and this infinite ocean of God's love is we're participating in little by little. And let the Lord have His way with you. Say to the Lord, show me, lead me, guide me, direct me. I am totally yours. And when we do this, how great this is. So Louisa says, and many times I cannot find the right words in order to put it on paper, that little bit of light that I say compared to the much that I must leave out, because my little and poor intelligence takes as much as is enough to fill me, the rest I have to leave out. So again, when she says this, she's talking about a divine reality in human terms. You will get to the point where you can't talk about this because there's no words to talk about. Think of just the color red and being blind, and somebody says, it looks like an apple, it looks like, you know, a tomato, it looks like a fire truck, it looks like, you know, a flower, a rose. Without seeing it, how can you describe it? You know, it's what Jesus is going to do is He's going to touch your mind, touch your heart, touch your soul to such an extent that you're just going to be in awe of God. And the peace, the joy, the happiness that you will live is so powerful that no one can take it away. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that to live this life, when the horrible chastisements come upon the earth, those children of the divine will, these chastisements will have little or no effect upon them. This is what our God wants to give to us, to begin to live heaven on earth. So when we wake up in the morning, we do our prevenient act, and a prevenient act is found in volume 14, May 27th, 1922. Okay? The prevenient act is found in volume 14, May 27th, 1922. So this is, again, this is for us to participate in. You begin your day with this, as soon as you wake up, you say, Lord, this whole day is yours. Every thought, every word, every deed is to be one with you in the divine will. And then, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established. That's our job. That's what it means to become an apostle of the divine will. And then we focus on reading. We focus in absorbing this light, this love, this life of God. And as we enter into this infinite ocean of love, when we walk to the store, Jesus is walking in our walking. When we walk into the store, Jesus is smiling in our smiling. When we greet someone, Jesus is speaking in our speaking. Did you see how the whole world is going to change? As we begin to live this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, the world has to change. Jesus and Mary are on earth again. Jesus says to Louisa, you become my skin. I walk in your walking. I breathe in your breathing. I beat in your heart beating. You know, this is the light. And Louisa says, there's so much I have to leave out because we're talking about a supernatural reality. It happens, she says, to a person who dives into the sea. He becomes all wet Water flows everywhere on him and maybe even in his bowels. But as he goes out of the sea, how much of all the water of the sea does he carry with himself? Very little. Indeed, almost nothing compared to the water that remains in the sea. That's the 36 volumes. The 36 volumes that we're reading, as Louisa leaves the infinite ocean of love, the water that drips off her body from this infinite ocean, that is the 36 volumes. So this is what God has given us. He's given us a tease, a test. Do you want this? Do you want to dive into this ocean? Do you want to participate in God? He says, then read the volumes. Read the truths. Know what this is about. And as you read, every day you long for this drowning in this ocean of love. Every day it becomes more and more of our desire to be with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. To be with our God is what happens. Louisa says, and by having been in this ocean, the sea, can he perhaps say how much water, how many species of fish, and the quantities of them that are in the sea? Certainly not. But he shall be able to speak of the little that he has seen of the sea. Such is my poor soul. That's the 36 volumes. Jesus is going to fill us for all eternity with divine truths, divine realities. But this is called the Book of Heaven because you begin to live heaven on earth. Jesus doesn't want you to die and live in heaven. He wants you to live in heaven now. That's what it means to be Catholic, to have the sacraments and the sacramentals at our disposal, to begin to live heaven so that when people come up to us with all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin, we can say to them, just give your fiat. Everything will be fine. What happens a lot of times is people want to share their misery with other people. So they get on the phone and they call and they complain and they complain and they complain and they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain and complain. And to finally you go, I understand what you're saying. Okay, thanks. And then they call, they get on the phone, call somebody else. And then they complain and they complain and they complain. What happens in the divine will is we say, just say fiat. Everything will be fine. Just say fiat. Everything will be fine. What happens after a while, people will stop calling you because they know what you're going to say. And always you have more time to read. So that's the most important part. It's everything. My brother was at my house. When was it? I think my brother-in-law died. And he was sitting in the house and I was on the phone. And, you know, he said after a couple of days, he says, you know, you're always telling people everybody that everything's going to be okay. I said, I am. I said, I didn't even realize it. He says, that's all you do. Everything's going to be fine. God's going to take care of it. Just give your fiat. And I never knew that. I just was talking to people. But everybody is overwhelmed by worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, and negativity, and sin. But when you get into the divine will, that light of the divine will pushes away the darkness. And that, as you read, God himself is speaking to you. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is speaking to you. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us. Just when you are upset, open up a book of heaven. Say, Jesus, tell me what you want me to know. Every time, Jesus will speak to you. And every time it'll be very clear. He'll tell you exactly what you need. See, the Word of God dictated these words to Louisa. The Word of God knows when we're going to read and what condition we're going to be in as we read. And he's going to teach us things that only a God can teach us. It's not Louisa teaching us. It's Jesus speaking to Louisa, now speaking to us. So The book of heaven, if you're reading the book of heaven, you're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. If you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, go to the book of heaven. You're going to be astonished what God is going to do. But while I was in this light, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, because that's where Jesus dwells. He dwells in the interior of Louisa. And he told me, my daughter Louisa, this is the unity of the light of my divine will. When you write something to someone, you can end it with this: in the unity of the light of the divine will. When you write to somebody, you can write fiat voluntas tua. See, this is what it means to be an apostle, to give little hints to people of what this is. In the unity of the light, this is where we all are. So let the Lord teach you, let the Lord guide you. We truly become apostles of the divine will by giving to people little glimpses of what this is. And so he says, Louisa, this is the unity of the light of my divine will, and so that you may love the divine will more and more and be confirmed more and more in the divine will, I, God, want to make it known to you the great difference which exists between the one who lives in my divine will, that's Louisa, in the unity of this light, and the one who resigns and submits himself to my divine will. Okay, there's a big difference here. The saints resigned and submitted themselves to the divine will. They said, I'll do God's will. Louisa lives in the divine will, in the unity of this divine light. So when you sign your letters, you can always say, I'm in the unity of the light of the divine will. And they're going to go, what are you talking about? You always write this down there. What is this? And then you can give them the book of heaven, and they go, oh, I understand. So you're preparing their souls to embrace this. In order to make you comprehend this well, I, God, shall give you a smile from the sun which there is on the horizon. We're going to see things that we have never seen before. We're going to experience things that no one's ever experienced before. The sun, being in the vault of the heavens, spreads its rays over the surface of the earth. Look, between the earth and the sun, there's a sort of an agreement. The sun touches the earth, and the earth receives the light and the touch of the sun. Now, by receiving the touch of the sun and submitting to the sun, the earth receives the effects which the light contains. And these effects transmute the face of the earth. These effects make it turn green again. These effects make it flower, plants develop, fruits mature, and many other wonders which can be seen on the face of the earth, always produced by the effects contained in the solar light of the sun. But by giving its effects, the sun does not give its light, does not give, basically give up its light. On the contrary, it is jealously preserves its unity, and its effects are not lasting. And therefore one sees the poor earth, now all flowery, now all stripped, and it changes almost at each season and undergoes continuous mutations. If the sun gave to the earth the effects and the light, the earth would change into sun, and it would have no more need to beg for the effects, because containing the light within itself, it would become the owner of the source of the effects which the suns contain. The sun contains. So the sun isn't giving to the earth itself. Okay? The sun is there to have the effects of the flowers and the plants of the earth. So he says this: such is the soul who reigns and submits to my divine will. This is a saint. The saints lives of the effects contained in it. Okay, contained in the divine will. The saints do not possess the light. The saints do not possess the source of the effects contained in the sun of the eternal volition. Therefore, the saints look almost like the earth, now rich in virtues, now poor, She changes at every circumstance. That's the saints. Even more, the saints are not always resigned and submitted to my divine will. The saints would be like an earth that does not want to let herself be touched by the light of the sun. In fact, if the earth received its effects, it is because it lets itself be touched by its light. Otherwise, it would remain squalid, unable to produce a single blade of grass. So remained Adam after sin. Adam lost the unity of the light. So that's why, by putting this down on paper, when we say, God bless you in the unity of the light of the divine will, we are now receiving what Adam lost. That's a clue. It gives you a little glimpse. And therefore, the source of the good and the effects which the Son of my divine will contains. Adam could no longer feel the fullness of the divine Son within himself. Adam could no longer see within himself that unity of light which his Creator had fixed in the depth of his soul, and which, communicating his likeness to him, the image and likeness of God, God made of Adam his faithful copy. You see, that's what we're supposed to be, a faithful copy of God, image and likeness. Jesus says, you're going to do greater things than I. You know, when he said to Philip, he said, Philip, feed the 5,000. And Philip said, not even with 200 days' wages could I have enough money to feed these people. And Jesus says, how many fish, how many loaves? And see, Jesus wasn't mocking Philip. Jesus was saying to Philip, I want you to do divine things. He said to Peter, when Peter says, is that you, Jesus, walking on the water? If it is you, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come. And Peter's prayer became Jesus' command. Jesus wanted him to do a divine thing. See, this is now 2,000 years later, this is what Jesus is saying. Let me reign in you so that you can begin to do things that I do as a copy of Jesus, to be like God. And again, as Catholics, we see this. When a priest says, this is my body, God obeys. A human. When the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, God obeys a human. And what's coming is it's a new beginning for mankind. That's why all I can say is watch what God's going to do. Everyone is going to be so astonished. Everyone will want to be Catholic. So don't just do minimal responsibility of a Catholic. Do everything that a Catholic is supposed to do. Like Sunday, keep holy this day. It's not a time for partying, you know, going out, and it's not a time for games. You know, we've made Sunday game day, sports day. So where are the children? They're practicing tennis and golf, soccer, hockey, football, but they're not in church. As Catholics, we have to say, the Holy Mass is the most important thing for me on this day, on this Sunday. And then we want to keep this holy. It's just, so that's what Jesus is showing you. What do you want to do? How do you want this day to be? Is it another Saturday? If it is, we're not being very Catholic. It's to really make this day God's day. A family day. We're going to get together and we're going to pray today. And that might sound strange, but this is what the children need. This is what we need. As you enter into this life, it's especially this light of the divine will, God is going to take over our lives. He's going to show us how to live a Catholic life. So it says, basically, before sinning, since Adam possessed the source of the unity, the light with his Creator, each little act of his was a ray of light which invaded the whole of creation, went to fix itself in the center of his God, bringing God the love and the return for everyone. that had been made for him in the whole of creation. Adam was the one who harmonized everything. And Adam was the one who formed the note of accord between heaven and earth. But as soon as Adam withdrew from my divine will, his acts no longer invaded heaven. The earth and the earth like rays, but they sank almost like plants and flowers within the circle of his field. So, losing the harmony with all creation, Adam became the clashing note of all creation. Oh, how low Adam descended. And Adam cried bitterly over the lost unity of the light, which, raising him above all created things, made Adam the little god of the earth, the ruler of the earth, the king of the earth. And then when he sinned, he lost his royal clothing. He lost his royal garments. As Jesus was stripped and nailed to the cross to take Adam's place, to take our place, Jesus then reclothed us with divinity. And what you're going to experience is you're going to experience heaven in a way that you have never experienced before. Why? Because it's now is the time to receive this. Now is the time. So as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you give God the opportunity to teach you, to lead you, to guide you, to fill you with the unity of the light, everything changes. Everything, it can't be the same anymore. This gift of the divine will is so unique that if the saints were alive today, they would be fighting over the books. Because why? Jesus said to Louisa, "These are my books." See, the books belong to anybody who wants them. The only thing that the archbishop said is have a priest to help you. You know, have a priest teach you. Because some lay people, unfortunately, when they read the divine will and it's filled with awe and wonder, they say, well, I don't need Holy Mass anymore because I live in the divine will. I don't need to pray the rosary anymore. I live in the divine will. Father Bucci says that's pure foolishness. Louisa prayed the rosary. If you look at Louisa's pictures, she always has the rosary in her hand. And Jesus says it will be the beads of the Holy Rosary that's going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Louisa had permission to have Mass in her room by Pope Leo XIII and by Pope Pius X. Pope St. Pius X, who was St. Honorable de Francia's best friends. I remember when I was at the postulator of the cause of St. Honorable de Francia, I was talking to him and I said, now, St. Honorable and St. Pius X had a close relationship. And he goes, well, you know, no. I said, oh, that's what I heard. Is it true? And he goes, well. And I look at the top of this desk and I pick this paper off. And it was just like that. Pick the paper off and I looked at it and I go, this is St. Pius X's letter to St. Honorable de Francia. And I handed it to him, and he read it, and he goes, oh, yeah, they were good friends. So right here. So he says, right here, they were good friends. And I went. But that's the divine will. The divine will is God does things. I mean, I remember right when I first met the postulator of St. Honorable de Francia, I said to him, he goes, come here, I'll show you all we have. And he showed all these medals, all these relics of St. Honorable de Francia. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a medal. I says, you don't have one of these. He goes, oh, where did you get this? I said, well, this was, you know, one of my relatives. I said, put it with the collection. He goes, no, this is yours. I said, no, put it with the collection. He goes, no. I said, I got another one. He goes, you got another one. I said, I do. You know, so I handed it to him. When I went back, I said, see, I got one. He goes, you do have one. How did you get two? But God has everything planned. Everything is planned. And when you enter into this gift, Everything is perfectly planned. Everything. And you cannot imagine when we surrender to the Lord how He takes care of every situation. People say, well, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that was written by the same guy who wrote A Penny Saved is a Penny Earned. You know, it was written by Frank, what's his name? Benjamin Franklin, yeah, thank you. No, God doesn't help those that help themselves. God helps those who surrender to Him. You know, He's got great, wait till you see what God's got planned. So Jesus says this. So light, love, adoration arises in each act of the creature. See, you see what we're supposed to be doing? Every step is light. Every step is love. Every step is adoration to God. That's why Jesus keeps on saying to Louisa, be attentive. Don't lose a moment. And they arise in each act of the creature, which constitutes in itself for each act, love for each act, like solar light invades everything, harmonizes everything, centralizes everything within itself, and like a shining ray, brings to her God the return of love for everyone that He has made and for all creatures. And the true note of accord between heaven and earth. See, it's the kiss of heaven and earth. Scripture tells us of that. Heaven and earth will kiss. That's the divine will. Heaven and earth will be one. War, mankind will not be at war against God, which it is right now. And who's bringing this about? It's the souls linked to Louisa. This is, again, what's very, very important. He says, what a difference between the one who possesses the source of the goods which the Son of my divine will contains and the saints who live of the effects of the Son. It is the difference that exists between the Son and the earth. The Son always possesses the fullness of its light, the fullness of its effects. The Son is always blazing and majestic in the vault of heavens. The Son does not need the earth. While it touches everything, it is untouchable. It does not let itself be touched by anyone, and if anyone dared to even fix on it, it would eclipse him, blind him, and knock him down with its light. On the other hand, the saints of the earth is in need of everything. The saints were in need of everything. The saints prayed. Please, 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 please. Jesus is going to teach us how to say, take my prayer and make it your command. And God says, let it be done. You see, we're right where Philip was, where Jesus says, you know, you feed the 5,000. How am I going to feed the 5,000? Get out of my way, I'll show you. We're just where Peter was. Jesus said, you know, Peter said, if you're the Messiah, command me to walk on the water. Jesus says, come, walk on the water. That's the divine will. You're going to see things that you have never seen before. You're going to experience things that you've never experienced before only if you don't limit God. Limiting God is, oh, I don't believe that. God says, fine. You can't have it. When we say, let it be done as you say, God says, get out of the way. Let me show you what I, God, am going to do with you. But when we say, I doubt that, God says, fine. It's not yours. Don't limit God with your doubts. Don't limit God with your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, and your negativity, and your sin. That's got to go. That's all got to go. You have to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. When a doubt comes in, say, Jesus, I trust in you. When a worry comes in, Jesus, I believe in you. When something goes the wrong way that you think, Jesus, I thank you because you're in charge of my life. See, the divine will goes way beyond where the saints were. Because God is going to show us things, like He says, that has never been seen before. He says very clearly. On the other hand, the saints, the earth, it is in need of everything. It lets itself be touched and stripped. And if it wasn't for the light of the sun and its effects, the earth would be a gloomy prison. The earth would be full of squalid misery. Therefore, there is no comparison that holds between the one, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, who lives in my divine will, and the saints who submit to the will of God. Do you see why Jesus is saying, I want more for you than what I gave to the saints? See, the Lord is ready for this great sanctification that's coming upon the earth. So before sinning, Adam did possess the unity of the light. Adam could no longer recover during his life. It happened to Adam as to the earth that turns around the sun. Not being fixed in turning around, it opposes the sun and forms the night. Now, in order to render him firm again, so that he might sustain the unity of the light, a repairer was needed. And this repairer was supposed to be superior to him. Therefore, a divine strength was needed in order to straighten Adam up. Here is the necessity of redemption. So when we see Christ crucified, this is the superior. He is the repairer. He has redeemed us. That's why every home should have a crucifix. Every home should have a crucifix in each room. Why? This is the glory of God. This is the power of God. If you have a cross on the inside of your house, great. Put a cross on the outside of your house. A crucifix. Christ, see, the devil would rather have a dove nailed to it, or a word nailed to it, or a son nailed to it, but Jesus is the one to be nailed to the cross. This is the power of the cross, Christ crucified. It's really nice to have little, you know, flowers nailed to a cross. The devil would rather see that than to see his defeat. This is the defeat of Lucifer, Christ crucified. This is the glory of God, Christ crucified. Here is the necessity of redemption. Mary, my celestial, also possessed the unity of the light, and this is why, more than sun, Our Lady gave light to everyone. It was never nighttime, nor was there ever a shadow between the Blessed Mother and the supreme majesty of God, but it was always full daylight. Therefore, in each instant of this unity of the light of my divine will, made the whole of divine life flow within the Blessed Mother, which brought Our Lady oceans of light, oceans of joy, oceans of happiness, oceans of divine knowledges, oceans of beauty, oceans of glory, oceans of love. That's why, if you have a statue of the Blessed Mother, inside and outside of your house, crown her. Let everybody know she's your mother and your queen. She is Theotokos. She's the mother of God. And Mary, as though in triumph, bore all these oceans to her Creator as her own, to attest to Him her love, her adoration, and to charm God with her divine beauty. And the divinity made flow yet more and more new divine beauties, beautiful oceans. Mama Mary possessed so much love that, as though naturally, Our Lady could love everyone, adore and make up for everyone. Our Lady's littlest acts done in the unity of the light were superior to the greatest acts and to all the acts of all creatures put together. Therefore, the sacrifices, the works, the love of all the creatures can be called little flames before the sun, little drops before the ocean, compared to the acts of the Blessed Mother, the Sovereign Queen. And this is why, by virtue of the unity of this light, the supreme volition, which Mary triumphed over and conquered her very God. Mary conquered God. Mary made God a prisoner in her maternal womb, and only the unity of this light of my divine will, which Our Lady ruled over everything. Our Lady ruled over everything possessed. Our Lady was able to form this prodigy, which had never before occurred. Our Lady administered to her acts, administering to her acts, worthy of this divine prisoner. So again, Jesus became the prisoner of Mary, and now he's our prisoner in the tabernacle. And he's abandoned. He's rejected. He's ignored. He's ridiculed. So we have to go back to him to make sure that we prove to him that we know he is present. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.